Hey, all you growers out there, thanks for tuning into GrowCast today. Jordan River here. I've got lots of exciting updates for you. Just a reminder, we are opening our membership registration. That's right, our membership program, GrowPass, at mygrowpass.com, is opening its doors to new members in 5 days. The 17th of March, we will be opening our doors for a short time. Get yourself a GrowPass. You can get a free trial if you want to see what it's all about right now by visiting mygrowpass.com. And we look forward to having you as part of our membership. It's very exciting what we're doing over there with the AMAs and the giveaways and the charity. So much excitement. Speaking of excitement, I wanted to update you guys on where I'm going to be because I'm running around. I'm traveling a lot. And it's not the greatest time to travel, but you got to do what you got to do. And I wanted to let people know where I'm going to be. So we will be attending NECANN in Chicago coming up April 3rd and 4th. God willing, if the show goes on, we will be there. You can come visit us. You can come say hi. Also, I'm going to be in Nevada April 12th through 15th. I'll be down in Laughlin. I'll be flying into Vegas. So Nevada fam, if you want to hit me up at Jordan River IG on Instagram, let me know where you're at. Maybe come play some poker. It'll be fun. I just want to keep you guys updated on my travels a little bit better on this show. Today's episode is a Wolfman episode. Wolfman is back. Like I said, Wolfman's been crazy busy. He's had issues at the shop. He's been doing some membership work with us, so it's hard to get him on the podcast on top of all of the live streams and stuff he does for us. But he came on the show, and boy, is it a good episode. I know you guys are going to love the return of Wolfman. Before we begin that episode, though, let's give some love to Newt Tools, a GrowPass partner. That's right. Just go to newttools.com, get yourself a Newt needle. Promo code GrowCast gets you 10% off, and members of mygrowpass.com get 25% off their Newt tools, along with tons of other discounts. Newt Tools created the amazingly simple Newt Needle. That's right, the Newt Needle is a 100 milliliter syringe attached to a 14-inch stainless steel needle, and it is a perfect fit into any bottled nutrient on the market. The creators of the Newt Needle, Evan and Rob, were two growers based out of Boston, and they were sick and tired of spilling their nutrients, staining their clothes, staining the floor, wasting precious, expensive nutrients. So they thought, there's got to be a better way to do this. They invented the Newt Needle. You can extract exactly how much newts you need. That's right. That was a sentence I used. Into the Newt Needle and apply it to your reservoir easily and cleanly. You can even use the needle as a little mixer. It's a really nice device if you are, in fact, in a synthetic setup. So go to newttools.com, promo code GrowCast for 10% off, mygrowpass.com, opening its doors in 5 days for 25% off and more. All right, everyone, let's get to Wolfman. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please tell a friend about GrowCast. Tell a grower, tell a smoker, anyone who you think would enjoy the show. Make sure to check out The Homegrown Helpers, and you can apply to be on The Homegrown Helpers. That's Rob Smith's show. And you can do that by going to thehomegrownhelpers.com/apply. Also, check out my other show, the Coffee, Health, and Science Podcast. Having so much fun over there. Today, we've got Wolfman back on the cast. It's been too long. He's been a busy, busy man, but he took some time, overtime, to come and visit the podcast. What's up, Wolfman?
Not much, man. Just a little busy out there in the world, but always try to make the special effort to visit with everybody on the pod.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you doing the work with the GrowPass membership program. We want to get Wolfman on here more, but you're running the grow shop. You got personal stuff going on. You got professional stuff going on. It's tough, man. It's tough to produce that content and work a full-time job, but we appreciate you, and I'm ready for another grow chat today. Before we get started talking about all the points that I've run across in groups and through instant messages and all this stuff, what's going on in Oregon? What's going on in the market? What's going on in your grow shop, Wolfman?
I'm just getting ready for spring. Some people are on it. Other people, I don't know, still a little early. You know, it's kind of the fall spring, if you will. I think we still got a little bit of cold weather ahead of us, but things are ramping up. People are getting ready.
Is it still just gray out there?
A little bit of gray weather here and there. Some good weather. You know, it's always good. You know, nice weather during the week, and then weekends are always a little cloudy. So it's one of those teases where you're like, oh, sweet, this weekend's gonna be nice, and then it's always cloudy and cold.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. The Midwest, I'm realizing it's got a colder winter, but the sun comes out more than you think until you move to that West Coast. But I wanted to talk to you, of course, about your product expertise. Wolfman is a longtime member of the cannabis retail community, and he provides very unique insight. So we're going to talk about product-related questions in this Grow Chat. And first, I want to talk about a question that I get all the time. Wolfman, you must get this too, and it must kind of drive you crazy because it's kind of like a loaded question. People are always writing me, especially when they're just getting started, and saying, I'm having trouble selecting what nutrients to use. Maybe they've read enough to learn the term nutrient line and say, which nutrient line do I select? I see a lot of people who start with a synthetic line, like Advanced or whatever it is, and then wonder to themselves, should I switch? Maybe they're having some troubles with, deficiencies or lockout or what have you, and they think to themselves, maybe I should have gone with a different line. Maybe I should switch it up. What do you recommend when, beginners or whoever comes in and says to you, hey, I'm having trouble selecting a nutrient line?
It boils down to a few different things, I would say. One would be price point, simplicity, those kinds of things. If somebody, doesn't really mind spending a bunch of money and, doesn't mind having multiple bottles to pick from, something a little more complex like Advanced or, I don't know, there's others that have a lot more components that you can tailor your mix to, but you don't necessarily need all those different products. I mean, you can get very simple with like one parts. I know Age Old as a one part. I believe Green Planet also has a one part. There's a lot of other one parts out there. All kinds of different brands. Everybody's got should have a one, or most people have one parts. Two parts are a little bit more complex. You shouldn't have as many issues. So it all really depends on those factors. But I would probably suggest like a three part, possibly a four part, something like that, just to start with, would be simple and easy, and do that a couple times. And then if you feel like venturing out and trying some other things, I would do that. But
nice.
It's more factors than just the nutrients that are going to give you a good grow or a bad grow. There's, the ventilation and your genetics and you and everything else as well. But
that's such a good point, though. I think a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on, this is what I'm putting into the plants, this is what I'm going to get out of it. I have a couple things that I want to throw at you, and you tell me if they're fair statements. When it comes to the multi-parts, the complex lines, would you say it's a fair statement that depending on the size of your grow, you may want to alter that? Meaning if you have a crap ton of plants, you might want to go with like a two-part can of nutrient, which is going to be way simpler than like a multi-part Advanced mixing in massive quantities. Is that a fair statement, do you think?
The bigger you go, usually the more cost effective you want to go. There's even a lot of, salt based powdered nutrient lines out there. There's Front Row, there's Veg Plus Bloom.
Yeah. Veg Bloom. Yeah.
Yeah. There's all kinds of new ones out there. I think GH is coming out with a simple three part, two, three part powdered line. And there's always the Blue Stews, the Growmores, the Plantex, all those different salt-based simple nutrient lines out there.
Right. So let me throw this maybe more controversial point at you. Do you feel like all these nutrient lines work? Like all of them work, in my opinion. Like maybe some I wouldn't recommend over others, but like you buy these products, they're intended to grow your cannabis large if you use it correctly and get those other things in order. Like you said, you got a good light, you got good ventilation. Like all these nutrient lines more or less work. Is that fair?
They make these things. There's research behind these things. There's, quality control and all of this. And they should have, all the different nutrient companies should have like researched their stuff for a number of years or extended period of time before they brought their products to market. So I would trust that if you're a new grower and you're curious, like pick a line and follow their line. They should have a schedule, a feeding chart that you can go off of. Most of them are set up on an 8 week flowering cycle, or some of them will even have an 8 week or a 12 week or 14 week. A lot of the different nutrient companies have websites that will tailor a schedule for you. You just put in like your reservoir size and a few other factors, and you can print out a custom-made feed chart for yourself.
Nice. Yeah. And for the Uber beginners out there, the nutrient companies are going to generally want you to use more than you need. And lots of people cut back that dosage to 75%, maybe 66%, maybe 50%. But you know, someone came on my show, I think it was like Hota Herb, one of these Instagram growers, really talented guy. He was talking about, I think it was him who said, any nutrient line that recommends you flush, he doesn't like. And it's interesting because if you look at like some of the other brands that are a little less known, like your Sweet Leaf Nutrients, the ones that kind of recommend you either lower the feed towards the end or just have the basically bare minimum feed, some really high feeding complex lines want you to flush their line. In this grower's opinion, that means that they're pumping up the soil too much. I don't know what your take on that would be.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's just gardening or gardening in general. You know, I mean, conventional gardening, conventional farming, you want to pump your, you know, you want to, you know, better living through chemistry. You want to pump up your plants as much as you can. And if you're maximizing or pushing just a little bit too far to maximize, like, you know, just bulk out your plant, you should try to flush out any excess that there's in there. And then there's people
because you're redlining it, right?
Yeah, you're redlining it, or you know, you're turning it up to 11. But yeah, then there's other people that use growth hormones and other things that, you know, even push it past that, that you definitely want to try to flush out. Like, you're not going to be able to flush out too much of that, but you want to try to flush out as much as you can. And that's just going to encourage better flavors and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. And you know, that's what I've always been such a big proponent of flushing. And man, it is a touchy subject, especially right now. There's kind of a wave of all this research coming out, you know, saying flushing doesn't do anything. And it's funny when people push back against the conventional wisdom like that. And I'm excited to see how it turns out, you know, because right. I think we're going to learn from it either way. But yeah, I've experienced cannabis that's been grown in soil that's been, you know, fried and not flushed, and it doesn't turn out great. And then the other thing is you look at the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, you don't put any of that stuff in your soil. And you, for instance, do like a super soil grow, an organic living soil grow. Then you get the best, smoothest flavor and the most pungent aroma. So what does that say? If you kind of do the reverse logic there, I feel, and that's really, man, I got to tell you, when brand new people write me and ask about nutrients, I really point them towards the super soils of the world, you know, the Sohum soils that you can just order to your door and just grow in this thing. Maybe throw in some microbiology. I know you like Photosynthesis Plus. You've talked about Microbe Life, the brand, you know, these microbial products that you just add to your living soil. Man, that's just like, it doesn't get any simpler than that. If you can erase the headache of, you know, overfeeding and, you know, soil lockout and flushing and during transition. And if you can just erase all of that and grow in a living soil, don't you feel that that's kind of easier and a better step for a beginner?
I like that aspect of it as well. I mean, it just all depends on your style of person, your style of growing and whatnot. You know, there are those people that just want to go, you know, just go gung ho right into
hydro
and want to do like a Grodan thing, or, you know, do some hydroton rocks. And that's just a whole another aspect of it. But I do think of like a quality over quantity. Like if I was just, you know, growing something from my head, just want to do a couple, you know, like my limit or just a handful of plants or just whatnot. I'm super simple. Yeah. Just doing a living soil sounds great. Just, you know, super easy. Just give it some water and you go. I think for, yeah, just starting out, that's a great way to go about it. And then if you want to take the next steps and get into doing lines and building, you know, or building your own super soils or composting and all that stuff, it's
totally,
I think it'd be, yeah, better for the start. But for like larger scale,
maybe not,
probably not quite as easy.
Well, I do see people doing it on a larger scale, but anyways, what I want to focus on there is exactly what you just said. I feel like in the past, there wasn't a lot of the soil just available to purchase, even 4 or 5 years ago. Like a lot of these brands that sell you super soil through the mail now, didn't exist a couple of years ago. So people would have to traditionally mix their own, and you get it too hot and you fry your seedlings, or it's not hot enough and your plant doesn't have enough nutrients halfway through the cycle. So I feel like now that there's so many great options that you can just purchase on the internet, even though they are a little bit pricey, right? They're much more than a, you know, just going to get a bag of ProMix or whatever, but it's going to have everything you need, and you can even reuse that soil and amend it. So I think it's the future, man. And I'm setting up my grow as we speak, and I'm going to get some Soham soils in there for sure. And some of Rizo Rich's blend. Nice. In fact, yeah, Rizo Rich is going to do we've talked about it on the show before, but he's going to do a super soil kind of grow off where he has the same cut, and he's growing it in like six different types of super soil, including his own. And he's going to see how they turn out comparatively. I'm excited to see like what's up with that contest, man. Really, yeah, really cool.
I'm very excited to see about that one as well.
Yeah. Even going back to all the way back to the first episode of Growcast that kind of made it on the RSS feed. A lot of people might not know we were doing Growcast a long time ago, but we were just kind of recording, me and Wolfman talking, and we didn't have a website yet. We didn't have a Libsyn or a SoundCloud account, and we were just recording a couple of episodes. But the first one that made it on, Wolfman, you recommended two guests. It was Patrick Smith from Green Bicycles and Brian, his friend Brian, and they came on all those years back talking about super soil. And boy, were they right, man. It's absolutely exploded. I feel like that was like a really, really niche group of people just a couple of years ago. And now, holy crap, every other grow in these home grows that I'm home grow forums that I'm seeing, half of them are super soil, man. It's everywhere. So
it's awesome.
Yeah. I like it.
No, it's awesome when we can get back to the way it should be, you know, the way our back to 2-3 generations used to, you know, do farming and whatnot before right. The advent of chemicals and, you know, modern conveniences.
Totally. Yeah. So,
yeah. I like to see where we're going. It's a good thing.
Yeah. It's funny though, looking back, like Patrick Smith is hilarious. Dude, that guy was crazy, man. It was really funny. We should reach out to him again. See what that guy's been up to. I know Green Bicycles is still a thing. Check it out, people. Green Bicycles, super soil, of course. Let's see here. What did I want to talk to you about? Here's a product question, Wolfman. Jumping around a little bit, but here we go. This is kind of weird question, so answer it however you'd like, but what types of grow products does it really, really matter? Is it very, very important that we buy top of the line? You know what I mean? Where we don't want to be cheaping out on X type of product, as opposed to other types of products that we might be able to get away with buying cheap versions of. So like to cue you up, you know, there's a lot of like cheap LED lights that people are succeeding with right now. They order these like Chinese Meizu quantum boards that actually test pretty well, according to like, you know, people like Shane from MyGro and stuff. You might want to cheap out on that LED light and you could still get a good grow in. Does that question make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, it's kind of tough. Cause I mean, you can pretty much do knockoff of just about everything and, you know, be okay.
There's always an overpriced brand out there that you can undercut, right?
Yeah. I mean, at that point it's like, it's going to be like, you know, reading, you know, your back of your cereal box, you know, like seeing what is actually in it. Cause then it gets down to price point versus inputs and, you know, different higher quality inputs for different kind of money. So
right. It
gets into that range of things. But I mean, it's all about what you like kind of thing. I don't know. I'd say poisons, pesticides, those kinds of things. I wouldn't buy the cheap, super dirty, like just general, you know, tree stuff for like food crops.
The cheapest ones are the nastiest one, right? Roundup is probably pretty cheap.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't spray Roundup on anything.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I'm not. That's an herbicide, so it doesn't. It's not even a application right, for what you're talking about. No. But you know what I'm saying, which is I think the cheapest correlating with the worst kind of makes sense in that category.
Yeah. I mean, you know, all depending. There are some very expensive products out there that aren't that bad.
That's true. Like, yeah, insect soap and stuff. But like, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Cutting you off again. Yeah. But go ahead. I'm the worst. I'm the worst at that.
No, I mean, there are very inexpensive products out there, like Spinus, or was it Triazicide from Spectracide has a Triazicide, I don't know how to pronounce that word right now. Product is very inexpensive, and it's just a synthetic version of pyrethrin. Definitely different genre of products, but yeah, I would, you know, got to go a little bit more organic, a little nicer if, with my sprays.
Yeah. Let me throw a few things at you, and you can tell me if we should go high quality or low quality. What about kelp? I know there's some really, really cheap kelp products, and then there's some more expensive ones. Isn't there some like worry there about if you tell me?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, they're like different kelps are going to do different things, and then there's different kinds of kelps. So there's many different kinds of kelps out there. Like the inexpensive ones, like age old kelp is a great product because it's just cheap and easy. I used to mix that one in for my foliar feeds or just water it in if I just wanted something inexpensive. But if, you know, you want to spend the money and get the higher end kelps, there's definitely, you know, there's red kelp and green kelp and all these different kelps that'll do things. So that, depending on what you're trying to do with it, I would, you know, I could cheap out on certain things versus doing the more expensive targeted thing.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. It's more just like a general broad spectrum, but here's my, I don't even know if I want to bring this up. This is why I didn't say it before. I thought it was you who told me, didn't someone say that like lower quality kelps were testing for heavy metals? Was that you who said that?
Maybe way back in the day. I don't remember that right now.
Okay. But that's why I'm wary to bring it up. Thing. Maybe a dedicated listener can tell me what I'm thinking of. Someone said that the low quality kelps,
yeah,
I swear.
I mean, cheap kelps. It could vary from product to product.
Uh-huh.
Right. I mean, yeah, it could vary from batch to batch, from year to year, from, you know, version to, or product to product, or company to company. I mean, I could definitely see that. But I don't know for sure.
Right. What about cocoa? I know I've heard you mention like a lower quality cocoa versus a higher quality cocoa.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry. I'm a little stony this afternoon.
That's all good.
Yeah. A good, yeah. I mean, you definitely, that's something, I mean, I probably wouldn't go high end unless, you know, I really wanted to, like middle range would be great.
But you don't want cheap cocoa,
but like low end cocoa, there's a cheap cocoa. You're going to, like, for me, the extra work involved, I'd rather spend the money. I mean, if you don't mind doing the extra work to wash it and get all that extra salt buildup out of there and, you know, fluff it out or, you know, and, or do whatnot to make it right versus just getting a bag of, you know, triple wash pH balanced, you know, cocoa. That's up to you, but I would just rather spend a little bit extra money and get the ready to go bag.
Yeah, for sure. So maybe look for something a little more application specific when it comes to the cocoa.
Yeah, you know, like Can of Cocoa, it's got a laundry list of certifications on it for organics and whatnot. The World Gold Cocoa is another great one. It's a little bit less expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have as many certifications, but it's another very good cocoa. And then depending on where you live in, you know, or where you're listening from, there's got to be other local cocos. Yeah, just be careful with like non-washed and stuff. So just, you know, just be cautious of what you're buying. But there should be, you know, everybody's probably got a local soil manufacturer next to them to help cut costs a little bit. You know, if there's local stuff is, you know, testing good and it's been around for a while, you know, give it a whirl. Save yourself some cash. You don't have to buy the $40, $50 bag of soil at the grow shop.
Okay, before we get back to Wolfman, I'd like to talk to you about one of my favorite partners at GrowPass, Diamond Cut Co., everyone. Diamond Cut Co. Trimming Scissors. Just go to diamondcutco.com. Promo code GrowCast gets you 10% off just for listening to this show. And members of mygrowpass.com get 20% off their Diamond Cut Co. scissors. Plus, they're giving away lots of scissors to our GrowPass members. Diamond Cutco is committed to supporting the hardworking trim teams and individual trimmers across the world. With conscious ergonomic designs, fatigue-reducing innovations, and extremely sharp blades that last, our trimming scissors have been well-received in the growing industry. Danny Danko even included them on his list of four must-have items for grow gear. And you can find Diamond Cutco scissors being used cutting fire plants in thousands of grows, small and large, throughout the world. Your connoisseur plants deserve connoisseur tools, hand-trimmed connoisseurs only. DiamondCutco.com, promo code GROWCAST for 10% off, MyGrowPass.com for 20% off. Let's get back to Wolfman. Here's a good one, man. This might be a hot-button topic, I don't know. Grow tents. Do you feel like people should, because there's some cheap grow tents online, man. What do you think?
I remember back in the day when the tents first came out, they were off-gassing. You know, over a decade ago. Okay. Yeah, so no matter like what kind of light you put in them, the plastic would heat up and would off-gas and would kill your plants.
Dude, I love T5s these OG in industry there. Stories. They had T5s in there and it still gassed it out?
Yeah, still gassed out on them. So it's like, you know, they're great for keeping your clothes in and stuff, but they've fixed that problem. As far as I know, this is an issue that was happening, you know, 10, 15 years ago, like first few years of tents.
Still, dude, that's really interesting.
Tents are, you know, if it's an easy way to go, if you just want to throw something together, it depends on, I mean, the nicer tents are going to be made a little bit better. The metal and the interior, the frame, the bones of it are probably going to be a little bit nicer. So would be the one thing I would be cautious about with looking at tents.
Yeah. Make sure that it's got the like features that you want. Like, you know, it's got to have the right ducting ports and interlocking poles. Definitely. Key as far as I understand.
Yeah. And just make sure it's airtight.
Dude, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Though,
that's probably something I wouldn't go like too skimpy on.
Oh, damn. Interesting. I'm going to give a different take, which is, some people are just so fucking rough with their shit. Like, I never understood, like, I'll be playing some like N64, like original N64. And, you know, my buddy will be like crushing the controller and like slamming it. It's like, man, they don't make these anymore. What the fuck are you doing? Like, I'm sure some people yank on their zippers and are just heavy handed. I'm not one of those people. That might be something to consider if you're the type of person to, like, you know, kind of break everything. You know what I'm saying, Wolfman? Some people are just like, they're like crushers. They're bruisers.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can even, I mean, I've known a lot of people that'll make their own rooms, make their own tents, you know, just a little bit of framing and some panda film and some staples and some Gorilla tape and those like harp zip ups.
Just Mylar walls?
Make your own room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known lots of people. I mean, yeah, I've known people that have done that over the past. Sheetrock's pretty inexpensive as long as you mud it and tape it and make sure everything's pretty pretty airtight or pretty lightproof.
Yeah, it seems that the tents really excel in the small spaces. Like, if you have the space, it really is pretty easy just to throw up, like, the room inside a room scenario. Easier than one might think if you've never dealt with framing.
Oh, and then, so, you know, if it's, you know, they're not permanent. They're very easy to take down and, like, you know, pack away if you need to
totally good
break
point
them down in
yeah
a
that
hurry.
Too yeah but building your own tent, that's a good idea, man. You know, I wonder if there's a business opportunity there, like or at least a good
I remember there was a company years ago, I think it was like No Hold Bars or something, that they just made these pre-made metal brackets that you would just cut 2x4s and then slide the 2x4s in. They were like racks to put tables on, or suspension to hang lights from. So they'd be like what you would put inside of your tent if you didn't want to put any, you know, holes in your ceiling, hang your lights from and stuff.
Interesting. No Holds Barred.
I think that's what it was called. I'm not
sure. Dude, you have a million brands in your head. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a good YouTube video that's just dying to be made. We should look into that. That and a do-it-yourself air ring video. That is on the list, folks. Take care of that. What else am I thinking when it comes to high-quality buys versus low-quality buys? Are all mycorrhizal fungi products created equally? You got your great white, right? I don't know. There's a bunch of them out there. Do you feel that they're created equally? Do you have one that you stand behind every time?
That all depends. I mean, yes, there are, they're not all created equal. There's, you know, endo and ecto, and there's different, you know, different blends. And, you know, you've got your great whites, you've got your Bigfoot golds that is going to be very similar to the great whites. You've got your, you know, mycos, you've got your, what is it? Myco Jordan or something like that. There's,
well, what do you recommend? Which
one? There's a million of them out there. We've got a couple that we've been selling for quite a while. We do the Bigfoots, Bigfoot and Extreme. Extreme just going to be one flavor, just inexpensive big box. But you know, good. And then we got the Bigfoot is a blend of a bunch of goodness.
Yeah. I remember you saying you like that Bigfoot, right?
Yeah. I mean, local Oregon mycorrhizal. So yeah, we like to stand behind our Oregon products.
Nice. You're cutting in and out a little bit, but I caught local and then I caught local again and then I caught Oregon. So I think we got it.
I would probably go middle of the road to high end on mycorrhizal products, but again, it all depends on what you're after. I wouldn't go with an ecto mycorrhiza. Don't go super cheap because that's not going to do anything for you.
Right. Yeah.
I would definitely go with the endo.
That's exactly what we heard when we had plant. You mentioned Plant Success. Is Plant Success and Great White the same people?
Yes, yeah. Plant Success is like the parent, like the big brand, the big name, and then Great White's a sub brand of mycorrhiza.
Yeah, Jim Egan. Jim Egan, that's his name. He came on the show and seemed really cool. And I like to stand behind them just because I have talked to the guy, and they seem like they mean business, man. One more thing here: have you heard of Optic Foliar Switch? Have you heard of this product?
I have heard of this product.
So I guess it does a couple of things.
Knowledgeable on this.
It supposedly does a couple of things. I'm not exactly sure what it's mainly advertised for, but it supposedly prevents hermaphroditization issues on cannabis plants. Have you seen people using it? Do you have thoughts on this?
I have heard of people using this. I've never used this one myself. I've used Reverse. I think it was a super. No. I don't remember the company.
No, Reverse. I totally remember that. That's for when it actually happens, though, right? Doesn't that actually reverse the process, or is it a preventative too?
The way I always thought these products were stoppers, not preventatives or reversers. So, like, if you have an issue, then you can spray these products, and then they'll stop the issue.
Huh, interesting.
But I didn't believe that they were preventatives.
Interesting. Okay, maybe they want you to use it with regularity.
I could be completely wrong. I've not read up on Switch for years.
Yeah, I just don't know about these kind of. I want to use the word genetic, but I'm probably misusing that word. But these like gender altering products, like I'd like to see what this thing is and what it does to your plants. And if you're getting some of these hormones or genetically altering chemicals or whatever they are, you know what I mean? This product gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Well, I mean, I want to say it's the same thing they're using to do like seedless watermelon. So it's, you know, it's the same.
Oh, is it just like gibberellic acid or something? Like,
I want to say, but you know, like I said, I haven't read the back of a Switch bottle in a long time, so I don't know exactly what it is. Well, but I want to say it's some kind of gibberellin or some gibberellic.
Right, something jib. So, but the thing is, to me, it's like you just got to fix your light leaks, and apparently, it says that it prevents it from all stressors or something. But it's like I don't see the need for a product like this. The only reason you would need a product like this is if you're running some fucked up grow where it's too hot or too light, right? In which case you need to fix your issues. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have seen more people worried about, you know, like the hemp farm next door didn't pull any males out and worried about pollen.
I didn't about that. Good point.
So that I could see that's why the products like this have been, are going to be more of a, be more taught in the near future or become more and more interested. People are going to become more interested in them
because more demand be a lot for this.
Yeah, a lot more pollen out there. A lot of more lazy people are just like going to town and throwing plants out. Or, you know, even if, you know, you're doing seed stock and your seed stock isn't, you know, you didn't catch that male or it started to hermy, you could spray these products on your seed stock and that would hopefully you would only have females.
Interesting. Interesting. Wolfman, let's get you back on, buddy. You're welcome anytime. Thank you for doing this, my friend.
Totally. It was a pleasure.
Everybody listening, you know what to do at GrowCast on Instagram. Membership is reopening. That's right. Get a GrowPass membership, mygrowpass.com. Thank you all for listening. We got to run. This is Wolfman and Jordan River signing off, saying to you,
stay safe out there, people.
And grow smarter. Giveaway alert, everybody. That's right. GrowCast is giving away all sorts of stuff. We gave away some purple caper seeds. We gave away some trim bag. And now we're giving away Dr. Zymes. Just go to growcastpodcast.com/giveaway. We're going to keep these things rolling. If you want some free all natural enzyme pest control, go to growcastpodcast.com/giveaway. Sign up for free and enter to win free pest control. See everything we're doing at growcastpodcast.com/action. There you'll see the giveaway and the membership and the trial and the charity and just everything that's going on so you can keep up to date on GrowCast. Shout out to Illinois Canna Consulting for all your consulting needs in the Midwest and beyond. Let's get growing. Shout out to Jay Blanked for the beat, for the ads, soundcloud.com/Jay Blanked. Got to support the musicians out there. That's all for today. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend. Subscribing and rating and reviewing, it really does mean a lot to me. I mean that. And thank you for reaching out to me. A lot of people have been sending me wonderful messages, and I sure do appreciate it. It brightens my day. Take care, everyone. I hope you're doing incredible things in your grow. I'll see you next time on GrowCast. Bye-bye.